There was a time when I was on the tools and you were doing advanced waxing, so Hollywood's everything off. And I was getting my client to move position and the tip of my finger went in. And
into an orifice it shouldn't have been.
I'm Sean McDonald, you're listening to Blethered, and my guests are Jenny Story and Kate Berry. Kate and Jenny co-own two businesses in one. The first is Urban Retreat, a hair and beauty salon that puts a strong emphasis on community, care and impeccable professional standards. The second is The Academy. And the Academy, to put it simply, provides Scotland's first private traineeship in direct partnership with the most prestigious spa resorts all over Scotland. So whether it's somebody just starting out in life or a person who wants to take themselves in a totally different direction, they provide a clear pathway for those who want to empower themselves with an education that opens doors in exciting places. In this episode, you'll hear about Kate's time spent working alongside former Rangers football club owner David Holmes, forging a very robust and invaluable business experience, and where that then coincided with Jenny's years at the coalface of the beauty business. They explain how they educate and empower people to change the direction of their lives through training, employment, mentorship and friendship, and why it matters so much to them. And Jenny lifts the lid on the industry, from funny mishaps to the darker and more dangerous downsides that she's experienced. And as with every episode, there's loads more to enjoy. I had so much admiration for these two, for who they are as people and how unassuming they are with all that they've achieved. But once we'd had this conversation, it increased tenfold. From a fledgling business finding its feet, to directly supplying staff to the biggest and best resorts in the country, they're an example to everyone in what you can achieve in any walk of life. Not only do they do it with impressive diligence and high standards, but they do it while being thoroughly good, good people, and that definitely comes across in this chat. Final thing, the links to all things Urban Retreat and the Academy are listed in the episode notes, so make sure you have a look. And if you're going to Urban Retreat, I recommend the CBD oil massage, if you're asking. Enjoy. Literally like an AA meeting like we were talking about. Just Ursula Black. I'll be like, tell me, what's your name? Where'd you come from? And then we're kind of going to go for there.
I'm Jenny, from Cumbernauld. Mum of two, wife, and business owner with my business partner Kate.
That, not to get off Sigmund Freud and all that, but you said wife, mum, then business partner. Is that what's most important to you?
100%. Yeah.
Is that what kind of motivates you in everything you do? Pushes you?
Yeah, it is. You do everything for your family, don't you? And for a better life. And a role model for your kids as well. I want my kids to see that mum's successful.
Interesting. Yeah. We'll touch more on that later, because I think it probably ties in with how you run the business as well. You both take a bit of a mum role within the business as well.
Poor Kate, more so you, but yeah,
that's the age thing.
Contestant number two, tell me about you.
I'm Kate, I am a business owner. I'm doing it the opposite way around, but we have exactly the same values. I'm a mum of three boys and I live in Cumbernauld as well, and I own the business with Jenny.
We should probably explain how we know each other.
Yeah.
I mean, how...
We stalked you in social.
Join the queue. But it's one I was glad I said yes to. Obviously, I come in regularly for my massage and stuff, and it's a great place. The reason I kind of want to sit down and do the podcast is because I think it's a really cool, interesting story. Anybody can have a business, and no harm to them or no disrespect to them, but not every story is particularly as interesting. And Kate, we'll speak about your business background. Mm-hmm. You were just mentioned in passing. People always do this to me, they mention something in passing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, that's really fucking interesting.
We think it's not.
Aye, and maybe I just find it interesting. But was the start of your career working with David Holmes. So for anyone who doesn't know, David Holmes sold Rangers Football Club to David Murray.
Yep.
So everybody focuses on Murray, but what preceded him was Holmes.
Yeah, David was the kind of revolution in Scottish football and mm-hmm. brought major sponsorship, major players and everything to Scotland.
So what did you do there?
So I went for an interview for them as a PA. So there was David Holmes and another guy called Craig. The two of them were great business partners, a bit like Jenny and I, you know, the different kind of backgrounds in their life. So yeah. David was very much a chairman and running businesses. Craig was originally a building society kind of bank manager and then went into finance. So they used to go into businesses and create new businesses, help people start a new business, or kind of business angel their own businesses. If it was falling apart, they would go in and turn it around and things. So it's really interesting working for David because he had a lot of great stories, you know, from when he started there. So he was the Lawrence Group house builder originally. And because he ran that so well, the chairman of that was also the chairman of Rangers at one point, and they brought David in to run the business. So it was dead interesting.
What were you doing like when you were working with him?
So I went in as their PA, just working in the office, looking after their travel, you know, booking their accommodation, running the kind of office and things, bringing in juniors and training them up. But eventually, so because of what they did, they taught me everything about business. So it was a great learning experience. I went in thinking I would be typing letters and doing all that kind of stuff, like a secretarial role. But they just kept giving me more belief in myself. You can do this. You don't need me to come to a meeting with you. You do it, you know. So I was then meeting with accountants and lawyers, and every business we went into was different. So it was like ISO 9000. I'm like, that, what even is that? So it was like getting quality assurance for a business that we went into. So I had to go to the meetings, learn all about it, and then try and run that business that way. And
had you been to like in further education or uni or anything?
Nope. I worked for different shops and retail and left school with literally nothing. So we're great believers in there's no wrong path. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not one for you need to go to college, uni. A few schools now are forcing kids to do all this, get academic qualifications. I left school with literally nothing. I think I got 2 old grades. Mm. So I'm a learner by seeing things and doing things. And
yeah, I'm quite similar. Yeah. For positive and negative, like even if there's a sign that says, hot, do not touch, yeah. I'm like...
Need to just
burn my hand and go, no, okay, I've learned that through that experience. Yeah. What, we kind of touched on it, but what was the environment like? Because you're saying they were really encouraging mm-hmm. and yep. telling you could do great things, but there was also an air of a woman's place and all yep. that type of thing. Yep. How did you navigate that at the time?
You know, for David being such an older gentleman, David was in his late 60s, I think, when I started working with him, Craig in their 50s, and I was only in my 20s. So the two of them were amazing at encouraging me, both very much family men who mm-hmm. had wives and daughters who they did the same with. But I went into that environment where we were dealing with bankers, lawyers, where it was very a male-dominated world. So they used to take me along to meetings, but they would start the meeting by saying, you know, this is my fellow director, Kate, and blah, blah, blah. Never making me feel like just to be somebody taking notes at a meeting. They always included me in things. And again, like that pushed me out of my comfort zone and would send me into environments where, you know, it was like, I told a story, I won't mention names, but a football club, one of the businesses that we owned was about a business centre. Mm. And it was a football club bolted onto the back of it.
It's Livingston Football Club, by the way. For anybody that wants to know.
And there was a couple of tricky meetings there because yeah. we managed the football club's like kind of power and supplies and things yeah. like that. And they were going through really difficult times where mm-hmm. they couldn't pay their bills because a lot of football clubs really get to that point. So they would push me into meetings with like the managers of the football clubs to chase up their electricity and their gas and all that kind of stuff mm. where normally a woman would be a bit like, oh shit.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Shouldn't have there, but,
no, you're allowed to swear if you want.
So just them pushing me out my comfort zone and into those environments where I had to stand up for myself, where I was maybe treated like a wee mm-hmm. girl, and you know, one of those guys at one of those clubs was a bit like, well, what are you going to do if I don't pay you? Well, it was like, well, just cut your power off, cut your electricity off, and I'm not going to do it on a Tuesday morning when the Janny's in cleaning the toilets. I'm going to do it on a Wednesday night when Sky's in filming Celtic v Livingston.
Uh-huh,
so there you go.
It's good, like. I think it's quite an invaluable lesson though, because I think I've been in positions like that before as well, as a guy, obviously like a younger guy.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you're put in a position of, well, I have to either react or I need yeah. to kind of, I don't know, take it lying down.
Yeah.
I think sometimes as well, there's times when I haven't reacted in the way I would have wanted, but years down the line, you yeah. go, well, if that ever happens again,
yeah, I'll
and
do
it's
this.
It's transferable mm-hmm. across every sort of yeah. facet of business and life.
Yeah, I'm not someone who push things unless I'm pushed.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a very flexible person. I like to work with people. I'm not difficult at all. I would like to think I'm probably a bit of a sap and a lot of ways quite soft, but don't push me. You know, it's like it gets to a point where I'm just like, no, you're making me feel inadequate and I'm not going to let you do that.
Were there any like standout sort of incidents or periods that you think properly shaped you or that stick in your mind, you know, like a dinner party story when you're like, oh, I remember when blah, like what is it that kind of sticks out for you? Because I imagine it would have been a lot of carry on happening working for those two guys.
Yeah. As I say, a lot of businesses and things like that where there was people who didn't want you in their business, mm-hmm. you know, so it would be like, I'm thinking of a really stupid one that I did. So it wasn't even a dinner party. It was like we were selling a building, right? This was years ago. So building was going for maybe 5 million. We were the middleman. So we would find a company who was maybe having problems. We would go to the bank or we would find a pension company that would buy their property and do a lease back or whatever. So there was this one years ago and it was like 5 million quid. So obviously the company that we were buying it from and selling it to another company, because we were the middleman and we organised it, they mm-hmm. didn't really know how much we were selling and buying the business for. So we were buying it for like a million, selling it for 1 million quid more than the transaction. So we were taking like a good cut. So I accidentally sent a fax to the wrong person.
Oh no.
And they found out that the deal was going for £1 million more. So that was one of my major fuck-ups, basically.
So you got to put up the arse for that?
Yeah.
Did you get the £1 million?
Yeah. We still got the money, but aye. Oh. But that was one of those,
that's rubbing,
you know,
it in their face, isn't it?
Standing at the fax machine thinking, that's not the right number.
Have you never
back
done
the days
that?
Of a fax machine, eh?
Do you ever do that in general, though? Like, have you ever got to text somebody?
Aye. You text bad, the wrong
and you texted them the like, when you're talking about them? She's not going to hear it, right? I know she won't hear it, but like,
No, so now, I've
done it a couple of times, but it was more for somebody else. It was my mum. You know the way families can bitch about each other. And my mum tried to bitch about one family. She'll be annoyed that I'm telling this. She tried to bitch about one family member and then sent it to, like, try send it to somebody else, but she sent it to the person she was talking about and somehow managed to talk herself out of it.
She got away with it.
Do you know, it doesn't sound that funny now. I just can't give away too many details or
no,
my mum's going to kill me.
A riot in the family.
Jenny, you have that kind of different working background. Yep. Did you start working at the Hilton in the spa? But see, just to quickly interject and interrupt myself, if anybody's like, what the fuck has this got to do with anything?
Yeah.
I promise it does all tie into this bigger picture of what is a really phenomenal and impressive business built for scratch, for zero. But it is all relevant. So, sorry. Hilton.
Yes. Yeah, so, again, like Kate, I didn't have outstanding results from school. I went to college at 16, hated school, in fact. Went to college, found my niche, went to the Hilton at 19 once I'd completed college, and kind of was growing in my skill set for there. It wasn't the most amazing place to work, but there was good people round about. Mm-hmm. The guys for the gym were good fun. The girls that and my team were good fun. My manager was an absolute cow, but... It was a good learning experience. However, we were putting kind of situations in there that we perhaps shouldn't be in. And this day and age as well, so obviously I'm 41 now, so time's passed and there's more regulations in place for people's safety and stuff, but there wasn't a lot of consideration about their staff.
Couple of questions. You said, obviously I'm 41. What's fucking obvious about that? You look about 27 for a start. You said safety. Now you're kind of touching around it on a bit... Tell us some of the things
that
went on there.
Not just the stuff that we had spoken about.
As a sort of disclaimer, sorry. Oops, that's my phone. as a sort of disclaimer, we're not suggesting or implying that the Hilton or anything like that now.
Absolutely not.
In the past, obviously.
It happened everywhere before. Yeah. It's not just the Hilton. It was just that safety measures weren't as strict as what they are now. So, like, starting off the likes of the amount of massage girls would be doing, so back to back, they'd be fainting and stuff like that, just purely because health and safety wasn't taken into consideration.
God's sake.
And then the people that you were doing as well, like, majority of the people were absolutely fine, but we spoke about a time that someone came in, and even just down to their consultation, I felt that gut instinct. And
yeah.
I'm a big believer in following your gut instinct. I said to my manager, I feel a bit uneasy about this. And she's like, I don't care. Just go in and get on with it. We had our own kind of assigned rooms. And it kind of started off quite quickly, like the inappropriate chat and trying to like get a date or whatever. And do you know, that way I was just trying to stop the conversation. And then the next minute he reached over to lock me in the room. So,
bloody hell.
Yeah. So... luckily I had a shower room to the side that I could actually access to get out. So ran out the shower room, got the guys in the gym and they took care of him. So
Now that's a euphemism, right?
They took care of him.
But did they take care of him? Or they fucking take care of him?
Aye, they fucking took care of him.
Right,
so,
okay.
And then obviously my manager was kind of backtracking because I had highlighted to her how kind of unsafe I felt prior to it. And she gave me one day off, an early finish that day, next day off and back to work on Monday again. But
so it was a happy
ending. That was life back then. That was just the way things, you just had to go on with it.
That's absolutely horrendous.
Do you know, at the time it was a bit scary, but it's not now until I'm older that I was thinking, God, what could have happened? And if my daughter was in that situation, so I would actually kneecap the guy, but...
Did he not get like arrested or anything?
Nothing got done. The police didn't get involved. Nothing got done about it.
That's horrific. The mind boggles, really. Yeah. Like trying to...
I think it was down to mismanaging and that woman's part as well. She wasn't a very good manager, but then who knows what kind of experience or managing training she's had, so...
Yeah, again, I mean, you can have a lack of or absence of formal training, but still be a good person.
Have a bit of empathy.
I mean, is that the kind of... that wasn't enough to put you off kind of doing the job? So was that like an isolated incident?
That wasn't something that happened quite frequently. However, there was another thing with one of the hairdressers that were there as well. But I don't know.
How do you possibly, like, can I get a short back and sides? How does that turn into being unsafe?
She put his gown on.
Oh, no, I don't see it.
His hand went up the back to inappropriately grope her.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. And again, she was in a bit of a state and it was like, oh, sorry that happened. You can have the rest of the day off. We'll see you back next week kind of thing. So
how long did you work there?
A year and a half. I got a good amount of training. It was the people that kept me there because we had a good laugh.
You must have had a decent Christmas party at least.
Aye, like we had a lot of fun. We weren't beside the gym department, you know, so we all kind of had a lot of fun together. But that kind of really... And a way it toughened us up for what we had ahead of us in the industry. So,
could you see yourself getting into like business, or what? I'm just trying to get a sense of your timeline. What came after that? Then where did you go? Like, where did you go and work?
I went to John Higgins' wife's salon, and
is in the snooker player.
Yeah, so that was in Uddingston, and it was probably my most favourite place I've ever worked. They were just good people. Took really good care of their staff. And
was there a snooker table on the staff room?
No. Do you know what? He's a lovely guy. He came in a few times, salt of the earth, like really nice guy. And his wife took real good care of his. Her sister ran the place, Kelly. She was kind of joint partner of the place. And what a lovely girl. She was only 23 at the time as well, but took really good care of us. And it's through all those kind of experiences, you know yourself what you want to do and what you don't want to do in business. So
how do you two end up crossing paths? How does this come about?
So I went to another salon after that, and then I went traveling around the world for 6 months.
All right, pause. Well, let's talk about that.
Where did
you go?
I went to Australia, New Zealand, Fiji, Hawaii and Canada.
Nice.
So we just packed up and left and had a lot of fun and just travelled the world. Didn't work, got a bank loan out. My mum was stressing out and just thought, pay it when I get back, it's fine. Right.
Did you ever think you wanted to stay, or was it only ever just I'm away for a bit and then I'm coming back?
If I wasn't so close to my family and friends, I would have stayed in Australia. That's amazing. I would love to go back now as well, because I was drunk most of the time. We were away, so
can't remember
it. There was like... many experiences through that trip that you're...
Did I imagine it?
So you
would come back. Did you just go back into work?
A friend had started a salon, and I helped her build that salon. I fell pregnant with my daughter 3 years after I had been there, and decided that once I had had her that I wanted to start working for myself, because I wanted a more work-life balance, because I wanted to be that mum that was about. And you just... at that time, you just couldn't in that industry. It was long hours, seven days a week.
people needing it at the weekends and stuff.
Aye, I wanted to be there.
So you two cross over, how does that come about?
I started Urban Retreat 17 years ago for a wee room in my house, or flat at the time, and Kate's sister came to me for treatments, and then Kate started coming to me.
I was going to a wedding or something, mm-hmm. I think, and I came for nails or makeup or something like that.
Mm.
And then just kept coming back, and then just as we started to talk about things and got to know each other, it just kind of flowed that we got on really well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they say...
We built more of a friendship.
They say your beauty therapist knows more about you than lots of people do. You know, you get that intimacy with someone. It's like a confessional. They say that about a barman, don't they? Well, it's the same with beauty therapist. People build relationships. And then...
So I went to uni. I ended up... So again, a bit of background. When I left school and I got my leavers thing signed off, my assistant head teacher asked... what you got to do? I said beauty, and I burst out laughing in my face. So I thought, oh, I'll show you. So you kind of go into that field almost feeling like you're not academic. So kind of uni was always something that I was like, it's maybe something I'll do later in life, that once I've got my head screwed on, that I can go and do.
I remember that perception of people who went away to do beauty treatments, and
still there.
Most of the ones that I know are absolutely loaded. Uh-huh. They've got a lot of money, yeah, and a lot of sway and a lot of influence, but it's always looked down upon.
Yeah. It's a misconception.
Still
the
same
industry,
to this day, I think.
There's like an association, I suppose, with maybe a lack of intelligence, which just does, there actually isn't any.
They've no idea the amount of theory that goes in the back of a beauty qualification as well. Like your anatomy and physiology, the level I've got, I can go into nursing.
So, oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, so it is a total misconception of the industry, and that one that we strive hard to kind of diminish. But when I went back to uni, did my teaching degree, well, having Urban Retreat, having a young family, it was stressful times. Kate was like a wee safe space that I would vent to.
And then,
so you went to study teaching?
Yeah, I did my teaching degree at uni.
Was that like, where have you, did you think you were going to work in a school, or you wanted to teach what you already knew?
I just thought there comes a point in the beauty industry that you kind of reach your ceiling, and not everybody wants their fifth waxed off a 70-year-old. So it's kind of like, where's my progression here?
For those who aren't au fait with sort of that type of language, going to explain to us what that is.
The bikini wax.
Right, okay.
So it's just like, where can I go from here that I maybe just can't be on the tools forever?
On the tools.
That's what we call it. Really? On the tools, aye. So I've applied for uni the first time, didn't get in, and then just kept trying. Went back to uni, did my teaching qualification in further education. Did a wee stint in college that I didn't particularly like. Seen the premises that we are now in with someone else, not in the industry at all. We were going to just split the premises, and I was going to do Urban Retreat and maybe do a wee bit of one-to-one teaching. And then I went in a CPD course, so just dermaplaning or something like that, and Kate was my model, and she was like, why are you not doing this with your teaching degree?
So we went to a centre, like what we have now, kind of similar type thing, and we went in, and at my point at that time, it wasn't about the education, it wasn't about any of it, it was about the business financial side of it, so I could see potential. So I went along to this training course. There was 8 beds in a room, they were all learning how to do something, and they'd paid about $2,000. So I'm looking around the room thinking, this is $16,000 for a day and a half's worth of work. So I'm saying to Jenny, why are you not doing this? You know, you've just done your teaching degree. You could be that teacher. This could be your room, blah, blah, blah. And she said, she says, I've looked at her premises. It's too big. And I don't know how to do the business side. I wouldn't have a clue how to set up a company, run the payroll, employ the staff, do HR recruitment, you know, like business development, all that kind of thing. I just wouldn't know how to do it.
So and I had my own business from home for years, but it's a different kettle of fish when you're
just
going
that jump to something big. Yeah. We're in a 3,300 square foot premises, so that's $3,500 of rent right away every month before you even kick a ball, you know, before anything happens. So I don't know where I got my confidence from. Obviously, I had confidence in Jenny and her drive for education and her passion for the industry and things. And I had just finished a kind of project, so we just sold the building at the football club, and we had just moved on. We were looking for something new to invest in. So my plan was invest some money in, myself and Craig at the time, invest some money into the business, open the premises up, and then step away, you know, and let Jenny run it after that, and we would just keep some shares on it. So that when it made money in the future, we would just have a wee passive income out of it. Craig, to be fair on him, was kind of getting to an age where he maybe didn't want to run a beauty company. And so I just then got hooked in, and before I knew it, I was like passionate about it. We worked really hard to build it up, and I'm here, still here 6 years later.
Mm. Well, it's said that luck is where preparation meets opportunity. Yeah. And if you've both been preparing in your own sort of respective areas of expertise, and then you can come and join together. What is Urban Retreat and what is Urban Academy? Like, talk me through that. Because again, I'm particularly fixated or impressed or fascinated by the combination of these two businesses and how you've carved something out of nothing. Because I didn't know that such a thing existed. And I feel like it's a blueprint for other people who may have a business, whether it's skills or expertise or an idea, who might think, oh, well, this is as far as it can go, when in fact you can expand upon it. So, I mean, what is it?
So Urban Retreat is a Laura for the Glasgow Girl Club. We call it a beauty in Narnia.
It's award-winning beauty in Narnia.
It's just everything you can get under one roof. It's hair, beauty, aesthetics, acupuncture, nails.
And you can be found in Broadwood Industrial Estate,
In Cumbernauld, which blows my mind people still don't know about in Cumbernauld, because we're going on 7 years, but we are tucked away.
Mm.
Just behind the loch, behind the new retail park in Cumbernauld. Yeah. So it's just down the back there. People drive by all the time and don't know those buildings even exist. Mm-hmm. They used to be the old Scottish Power buildings. The Scottish Power built them as 3 office complex and then moved out of them, and they've been rented out. So there's like a dentist in ours and things like that as well. So.
Yeah, so Urban's obviously one half of the building and the academy is the other half, and that's where the regulated training comes into it. So we basically deliver college qualifications, but in a private institute.
All right, so people can come to you and get what they would get at a college or something, and they can sort of apply it. What types of people do you get coming into to come and study with you?
Anything from career changers, school leavers. You know, we've had people on our courses in their kind of 50s who've worked in a call centre for 20 years and just think, oh, no more, I just don't want to sit at the end of your phone. And they've maybe had a passion for massage or for caring or looking after people, and they want to learn how to do facials or massage or hair or makeup or whatever. You know, they want to change their career.
So they can come in, learn and study with you, kind of change the direction of life a wee bit, and then go away and work in other places or work for home.
Start their own business or go and work in a spa or a salon or whatever, wherever they want.
How many people have you had through the doors, would you say?
Thousands probably over the last 6 or 7 years. Lots and lots.
Obviously, it's kind of really taken off for us in the past kind of 18 months. We launched Scotland's first private traineeship with the spas. So we've currently working with Blyswood, Archerfield,
Creera, Turnberry, McDonald Group. So all the hotels, all the big spas that you know in Glasgow and around Scotland.
Yeah. Well, if you're thinking of high end, you're thinking of those places.
Yeah. So I think the trainee scheme that we deliver basically gives them their level 2. It's like a qualification equivalence of what they would get at college. Level 2 in facial, level 3 in massage. And that's all they need to be a spa therapist to work at the Blyswood or to work at Turnberry and do treatments for clients. So that's what they need. But at this moment in time in the industry, Jenny was saying, you know, it's taken off in the last few years. COVID killed us in the academy. It killed us in Urban as well. We had 18 months where we couldn't touch anybody.
We still had to pay rent and VAT.
Yeah.
So
we still had to pay all our bills and things. We ended up in debt because of COVID. We've never had a penny of debt in our lives, but COVID, we bounced back loans and things like that, which we're still paying now. But, you know, it was everybody, the whole country went through it, so we don't have a problem with that. But people left the industry. Beauty therapists couldn't, they never get any money. You know, if they had their wee business from home or whatever, they get nothing. So they went into different industries. They went and became nurses, van drivers. You know, they did what they had to do, and a lot of them didn't come back into the industry because it's not a high-paid industry at all. It's more of a, I don't say a calling in life, but you know that they say people go into nursing because they've got that nature and that's what they want to do. Beauty therapists are pretty much the same. They have to want to care for people and look after people. And
People can see it as a dispensable expense, can't they?
Mm-hmm.
But I was quite interested what you were saying about your sort of, was it cost of living pricing structure?
Yeah.
Like, why do you do that? Why do you make it competitive? Do you think that it's...
We try to stay an inclusive salon, so there's no barriers to anybody having some self-care. So the fact...
Sorry to interrupt, but just because it popped my head, why is self-care important?
It's important all round for a well-rounded mental health, wellness. Do you know, mental health is a big buzzword these days, but it's always been an integral part of beauty therapy and salon life. Mm-hmm. We are counsellors to clients, and sometimes they don't come just for like the power of touch. It's just to have that safe space to talk to people. So, however, the power of touch is really important as well. So,
feeling good about yourself is like a fundamental pillar, isn't it?
Yeah.
It can be kind of laughed at. If I go for a haircut, I feel 100 times better after it.
100%. A woman coming in to us for their eyebrows to be waxed so that they feel more confident going out, because if their eyebrows are a mess or they've got top lip hair or chin hair, or, you know, a woman doesn't want anybody to see that, and they don't do that at
home. It's like, yeah. We're trying to be more inclusive to men as well. But there's actually huge studies done just now as well. So we've all got like a sympathetic system and a parasympathetic system. And the sympathetic system is when that fight or flight mode and you're in constant like stress levels, your cortisol is going. Your parasympathetic system is what's engaged when you come to a beauty salon because of the power of touch and the care that people are feeling. So they're instantly getting that diminishing the cortisol levels. It's a de-stressor. Sometimes we have people, what's called an emotional release after a massage, and they just cry because they've been that kind of wired before coming in, or there's something going on in the background. So it's an important role that we play.
I suppose because people focus on diet and exercise and rest and that type of thing. So it's grouped in with that, isn't it? Yeah. It's because it's viewed as a luxury type thing.
However, post-COVID, it's changed, hasn't it? We've seen a massive change that people are seeing it as a necessity now.
I think when you reach the depths of ugly bastardness that we all did, because you couldn't go for a haircut, you couldn't go for a sunbed. If you like to use sunbeds, I wouldn't know anything about that.
Don't condone it.
I could never condone that. But I think probably people went, no, never again. Like, I'm not missing out on that kind of opportunity. It would be remiss of me not to ask. There must be some comical stuff that goes on in salons. Maybe a slipped hand here or there.
You shouldn't have told him that story, Jenny.
I mean, you can tell it or I'll tell it. But my version will be heavily embellished.
Yes, no.
There's just always a story. We tell stories all the time, but it's obviously very private. We don't disclose names and stuff. But there was a time when I was on the tools and you were doing advanced waxing, so Hollywood's everything off. And I was getting my client to move position and the tip of my finger went in. And
into an orifice it shouldn't have been.
My next question is, did she pay extra or did she get a discount?
She called me Jenny Extras. That was my new name. So, we just had a laugh about it. But these are things that can happen daily within a beauty salon, and we do get funny stories. Not so funny stories as well, like with smells that you come across and sights that you see and stuff.
See, it must be like being a plumber.
Yeah. I'm married to a plumber, I am sure he would agree.
Oh, really? You both get the same sort of smell lingering.
We both tell the same kind of stories. Wait, you see, the smell I had the day. No, I'm joking, because I don't do treatment, so I can't confirm that. But, you know, it has been mentioned in a few drunk nights out when we share stories.
What are the best things about, one, running a business, but specifically the ones that are the two types that you do, before I ask you what the downsides are?
I was going to say quickly, the one thing that's the best bit about it is also the worst bit about it, but we'll talk about the best bit about it first.
Right, okay.
People. I'd say in our business as well, we've got the right balance. We are yin and yang of that business, and our kind of girls that work for us as well are truly invested in the business. Look, we really care about them as well, and the work-life balance they have, but then that comes from experience within our fields leading up to it. So there's quite a few kind of single parents that work for us, so having that work-life balance really works for them, and they really appreciate it, which makes them work harder. But we do, we care hard about each other, don't we? We are.
They say
family.
If you enjoy your job, you never work a day in your life. It's such a true saying. In the kind of 6 and a bit years that we've been down there, I've never got out of my bed and went, oh, I'm not going in the day.
Well, my husband's jealous. I don't get that Sunday night fear. Yeah. So it's you literally that, going to work looking forward
both our
to
husbands
seeing.
Hate their jobs, so they're as grumpy as anything in the morning, and we're like,
what do they work as?
My husband's a maintenance plumber for one of the, like, Mears. It used to be the council, but right, it's okay. Kind of Mears property now, so.
My husband works in a factory, so a manufacturing factory.
Right, okay.
Machine so operator.
They've got that feeling.
Yeah.
Don't know if this would, this is maybe more mine and your ear, Paul, about when you would be getting told on a Sunday night, you're going for your bath, and you can hear the heartbeat theme tune, and you're like, the fucking, the walls are caving in on you.
Yeah.
And it's the worst feeling ever. Thankfully, I've not had that for quite a good few years either myself.
I think it was the professionals when I was getting put to my bed, so I was, I'm a good builder than you probably, so it was that was the theme tune, and
I saw this one, and you were like,
London, so it was.
I will say, I know what the age difference is, but I remember London's burning as well, but it was more, what was the theme tune for that, Smoke Gets In Your Eyes? Or was that just a song?
I don't know. I'll need to Google that after.
I've somehow just fused those two things together and went, no, that's definitely was the theme tune for that.
But they have that horrible feeling on a Sunday night, and we don't really have. I mean, you get stresses and you get, you know, anxiety about things and feeding 20 members of staff, you know, because we feel responsible for making enough money for those girls to,
oh, right,
earn their wages.
I thought you meant actually getting it. I was a bit like, tell me, fuck off and go to, go to Tesco and get a fucking meal deal.
No.
There's a Costa around the corner. Right, okay.
I mean that responsibility of making sure that they get a wage at the end of every month. It's a big pressure.
I think what the hard part is as well, like in particular my clients that have followed us for years, and are now, like, I'm not in the tools anymore, but the fact that they're seeing a lot in social media and like, oh, they're hobnobbing with all the spas and they're a big deal now, but we're still finding day-to-day challenges, and probably staff and finances are the biggest part of that.
Yeah. I think it looks like smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
You know, for social media to get more business, we'll put out that we're working with Turnberry or the Blyswood, and
that
we're
big deal guy Sean that we're going on his podcast.
So people are like, oh, they're smashing it, they must be making a fortune down there, and you know, they don't realise that we don't take that big a wage out of the company because there's not a lot of profit left at the end of it by the time you pay all your bills. Our husbands probably support us. They're like, I used to stop playing games down there and actually make some good money.
You're having a real life impact in other people's lives, aren't you?
Yeah, of course you are.
By giving them, is there any sort of standout, what do you call them, students? I was about to say clients, but students that have come in and their life's been going one way and then they've just been able to come in, learn some stuff and then go in the other direction.
Yeah,
we've had loads of that actually, haven't we? Setting up new careers and they're really making an impact now. Like Susan is one that I can think of as well off the bat, or even just our girls on the spa apprenticeship or traineeship courses.
You know, the first in Scotland to offer that?
Yeah, so
because Scotland doesn't have an apprenticeship scheme for the beauty industry at the moment. They used to have one years ago, but they didn't have enough uptake because colleges are doing a kind of similar thing. So they'd done away with it years ago. And to get it back onto the curriculum or back onto the framework to get that course is a lot of work. And then the government have to find the funding to support it. So what we're doing is paid by the spas and the hotels on their own. You know, they have to find it in their training budgets to do this. But the results are quicker, and it's, you know, we pride ourselves on the training that we give them. We don't just train them how to massage somebody and do a facial on them. It's that whole 5-star journey, how to treat the client well, you know, how to look when you go to work in the morning, how to address yourself when you're speaking to people. You know, it's the whole making them into really good therapists and not just robots. We want them to enjoy their job and look after their own self-care. We give them mental health packs and things as part of their training to look after you, you know, because they take a lot of energy from their customer. If their customer's been through a recent death in their family or whatever, a lot of that energy from that person comes to the therapist, so we need to make sure they look after themselves.
Well, we lost a really dear client last year with cancer. It was awful.
Yeah,
so it's given kind of coping mechanisms of how to go about that.
And just post-COVID, we lost one of our team members, a young girl, 42 years of age. I heard
she died,
sudden death syndrome, just didn't wake up one morning.
Oh man,
so
that's such a shame.
Phoning around to see, you know, thinking she was just caught in traffic or whatever. And one of the girls actually took the call from her daughter, who was literally screaming because it had just happened. And it was just so traumatic for all of us. We were literally, everyone has come into work that day and we all just sat there like dumbstruck. It was like,
that's horrific.
So as a team, that's other things that have bonded us, because we've all, most of us have been there since then. So you, you then support each other, and so you've got to look after each other.
Does the loyalty or that sort of, what's the word, bond, does that endure through everything, or do people kind of come and go as well? Is there, are there ever downsides?
Yeah, there unfortunately, is. That's the hard bit. That's
we've experienced it on a couple of occasions, more so recently as well, but there's people that you really invest time and money into, and you know everybody will reach their ceiling at some point and move on, and we're big kind of advocates of that and progression, but it's the manner in which it's done afterwards as well. So sometimes people, for their own circumstances, are maybe panicking, but think it's a good idea to try and poach clients and maybe put a false narrative out there about their teammates or the salon in a way to win over those clients to build their own business off the back of it. That's a hard pill to swallow.
I think the light probably shines on everything in the end, doesn't it?
Karma.
Yeah.
Great believers in karma.
Aye, that type of thing will always sort of, it'll make itself apparent in the end. I don't think you get particularly far by doing things in a, not over a long term anyway, by doing things in the incorrect manner.
That's it, small term games. And it's, do you know, as well, people end up seeing themselves the truth in the end. Do you know, if it's, there's one person in particular was very kind of negative, and it's only now reflecting, we're like, that's probably going to convey over to their clients and they're not going to want to continue going there as well. But
it's, as Jenny says, it's happened to us once or twice before where people have gone and done their own thing or whatever, and a lot of the time we see a lot of the clients back eventually. You know, for various reasons, maybe it didn't work out for the person who left to go and set up their own business and find out how hard it was and all the responsibility of staff and the cost of running a premises and all the rest of it, and they've maybe given it up, and a lot of those clients will kind of slowly wander back through the door, and we love it. You know, we never take it out on the clients, because they're moving for a reason. They either love the person who they went to and they feel they trust that person, not us as a business, that person, so we get it. But then other times it's like, you know, they come back because we offer a great service and we're a, you know, we've got a nice environment. It's a nice building when you walk in and all that kind of stuff.
I also think sometimes as well, in terms of staff, they maybe get miffed after a while because we're big in self-reflection of what can we do differently. But they probably see the amount of money they bring in every month and think, oh, that's all I get paid. But they don't see, they don't know unless they've got their own business, the outgoings that are involved. So
because they just look at what goes through the till every day and think, oh, that's a lot of money coming into that building. But when they remember that there's rent, everybody else's wage to pay, we need to keep decorating the place, we need to keep buying new equipment, we need to keep buying new products, they forget all of that side of it. But as plus, I say, they'll learn it themselves.
That wipes you out every
those
quarter.
Two Rolexes you've got, they're not cheap either. They need to be paid
my
for, don't they?
£9 Fitbit that I bought in the airport as a treat.
Or drug dealer cars.
if you could go back in time, I always say this to people and it's so hypothetical to the point, it's like, why even ask this? But if you could go back in time and knowing all the difficulties that come along and the challenges, would you embark upon the journey of starting the company?
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah, no hesitation.
No regrets whatsoever. Yeah. We'd both got fires in our belly. Like, I don't think we could ever go back to working for someone either. So it's,
and at the same time, we'll see, both of us will say, I wouldn't do this without the other.
Yeah.
Because we have different skill sets.
Yeah.
And it's like to take on the responsibility of both those roles, because they are very different roles. You know, like Jenny's very much like with the students, front facing. She delivers a lot of the training, whereas I'm at the background, you know, sending out the invoices and chasing up this and making sure that the HR contracts for all the staff are right. And we need to put terms and conditions in place for the spas when they take on the trainee, that where's their responsibility, where's mine. So there's so much to do that neither of us have each other's skills. So it's a great mix. But I wouldn't change it. I thought you were going to ask there about, would you change how you deal with the staff, you know, how you treat the staff, would you do anything different there?
Give them a wee dig.
No,
we literally couldn't. No. We do what we can, we invest in them, we nurture them, and you know, again, like Jenny says, we always look at accountability on our own. We always look back and say, what could we have done? Were we responsible for any of that? And of course there's always an element of, well, maybe we didn't realise that they were struggling with this, or, but not enough for them to treat you the way they treat you when they walk away and badmouth you.
Well, I mean, I think people as well, people stay where they feel valued or where they feel respected, or more than just a staff member. And you've had examples where you've kind of gone over and above.
Yeah.
You might not want to share, but I mean, there was like, say, helping people out with
financial difficulties or even emotional support a lot of the time,
like
as
grief,
well.
When something happens to them, you know, in a traumatic, like that's where we joke, they say I'm like the mammy of the crowd or whatever, but that's where I kick in. Mm-hmm. Are they all right? You know, like wanting to look after them and make sure they're okay. Because some of the girls are the ages of my kids. So my instant reaction is, oh my God, I'll run up there and see if they're okay and if I can do anything or whatever. So it's that side of it that's more hurtful than the actual financial side of it. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've said this before, like when things kind of go wrong, you can look at it as a wee 10% tax.
Yeah.
And it's like you have to go, well, that's tax is always going to be there.
Yeah.
It's annoying. Yeah. And also, so is things maybe not going your way or bad luck or having a wee run of things not being great or people behaving in a certain way. It's like, oh, well, you can kind of continue just as you are.
We're quite woo-woo. We're into the universe and moons and crystals and stuff. And we're great believers in that you've got to have a breakdown before you have a breakthrough. And every time that we've suffered a kind of great loss within the business or suffering real kind of struggles, there's always been something like a big bonus at the end of it.
I hope that's true, because see, for like the first 2 months of this year, we're 2 months in now. Yeah. I've been feeling like, did you see the Willy Wonka Glasgow thing?
Oh, I did.
No.
Did you see the picture? Did you see the picture of the Willy Wonka standing behind the potions desk?
No, I seen the guy that was terrifying. Oh, the kids though, they look like the Grim Reaper or something.
Well, I've basically been feeling like this. This lassie's meant to be an Oompa Loompa, and she just looks. I don't want to be unkind. It's not her fault, it's just the fault that's been taken anyway. That's why I've been feeling all year, so I hope the breakthrough is coming.
I think everybody's feeling that way now. It's across the board. Yeah. I've got friends that have different businesses that are completely different to ours, and they're all feeling the same as a kind of funky
energy.
We've
got kind of a group that we've formed with people that, you know, you meet people in life and you just sync with them. Vic, who you know, is one of those girls in this group, and we'll put in it. Somebody will maybe put in it, oh my God, how clunky has the start of the year been? I feel as though I'm all over the place. My anxiety's this, that, and the next thing. And they'll all jump in and they're like, I'm the same. And then somebody Googles it, like these, I am a wee bit woo-woo, but they are woo-woo.
Oh,
and she'll go, it's the moon.
It's because there's Mercury's in retrograde right now.
Sagittarius is moving into Pisces and I'm like, I don't care about Pisces.
I start switching off at that point. What's going on? Although I'm interviewing a psychic in a week or two, and she's like, freaky good.
I'd love to get a reading.
I don't know. So I don't want the kind of reading stuff, but I just want to be like,
how do you
just
know?
Ask her loads of questions.
Like, are you really sure? Do you really know that?
I'm looking forward to that one. Can I, as we're rounding up, like the whole point of this conversation, because I think this type of conversation and hearing what we're talking about, it's either going to strike a chord with people or it's not, and that's fine. I think you don't want people to listen, but you think, well, if this isn't for you, then that's fine. But for me, I see this as like a story that's interesting in so many levels. Of how you've kind of come together, but what you kind of offer other people, an opportunity for a career change. I mean, actually, it's probably worth asking, if people want to come and train at Urban Academy, how do they do that?
It's just called the Academy.
Oh, it's just the Academy.
Yeah. So Urban Retreat is the salon and the Academy is the training.
A lot of people get mixed up with that as well because they think maybe it's trainees who are giving them treatments in Urban Retreat, but it's not. It's just in the same business, in the same building. But there's...
Well, if people want to come and train there, and how do they go and look and find what's on offer or how they go about it?
We've got a website at the Academy Scotland.
The-academy.co.uk.
The-academy.co.uk.
We're on Instagram, Facebook. They can watch what's going on as well. And they've seen kind of students' journeys as well. So we're down the end of a phone as well, or an email that they can contact us as well.
See, the thing with the trainee programme just now as well, as much as it's the spas, we don't deal with the actual recruiting of the staff members. But if people are interested in becoming a trainee and would love to work for Blyswood or Turnberry or whatever, they can apply to us, because if they apply to us, we can send their CV to somebody like the Blyswood or Turnberry or, you know, we're dealing with Skibo Castle and things all over the country. They can apply to us with their CV and we can pass it on to them. So they might end up with a job. They might not find the advert for the Blyswood offering this trainee programme, but if they come through us, we can introduce them to them to get them the job. So,
because obviously if you're one providing the training, they're also going to listen to your recommendation or your... I'm sure you would never do it, but you have to know in a way to be spiteful. But if somebody's not right as well, then you, you've got the power to say, probably not them.
I think that was an important part of this learning journey with the spas, isn't it? The picking the right candidates, because there was a couple that were maybe not the right fit.
And a lot of young girls think it's what they do, they want to do. They see the wee uniform and they see working in a big, beautiful building, but then they don't realise the 6 or 7 hours a day on their feet massaging and
a lot of graft,
a lot of hard work.
Just the theory work behind it before you even get to that stage and gaining your qualifications. So,
well, it's a solid, welcoming, supportive environment, isn't it? And
100%.
You're offering people the opportunity to go in a completely different direction. And that's who I want to hear this.
Yeah.
Because every story is not for every person.
No.
But every person has got a story that they'll hear it and they'll go, ding, that's me. That's why I like to kind of tell these stories.
And I think even if other people who have got their own businesses out there, there might be other beauty therapists that run their own businesses out there that might be thinking, oh my God, that's me. See that, worrying about the staff or the staff leaving you. See, even if it resonates a wee bit with one of them and they go, it's not just me. That would be nice as well. That's what we think.
Well, for my personal point of view, I would encourage people to get down to Urban Retreat for their CBD full body.
You just love it.
From Caitlin.
Hi, Caitlin.
A super fan.
Yeah.
I'll give her a shout out.
I know, it's for Caitlin. I'm your super fan as well, don't worry. I mean, that's in itself. I mean, I sent my pal Dean along.
Oh, yeah, he was told a big hit with the girls.
Told him all the lasses fancied him and he was buzzing with it.
Just keep sending them.
I know. Aye.
Amy just wants paired up now.
we can't say who Amy is.
No.
Right, okay, Amy, you're getting off lightly with this one. But I think it's been great to hear about you two as people, how you kind of coincided, how you threatened to destroy Livingston Football Club.
I'll be in the papers tomorrow.
I think it's, I would definitely encourage, for the people who it resonates where it strikes a chord with, why not get in touch and come and see about training here and putting your life in a different direction.
Absolutely. There's nothing to stop you from doing it.
Mm. And what, for the next few years, they'll make this a kind of the final sign off for the next couple of years. Where do you hope to see yourselves go and also the business?
I'd love to be swimming with the pigs and the
Mauritius.
That's no way to talk about your husband. So that's terrible.
We would like more urbans, however, it is stressful, so we would need more managers as well. And we are looking for nail techs and hairdressers at the moment.
Yeah,
so
we're always looking to grow our team.
Looking for a nice environment and be part of our tribe. The academy, we can see that being maybe growing into different parts of the UK or possibly going into franchise.
And also the bridging the gap, that's a quick one you mentioned.
Yes, so this is something that I was just speaking about with our awarding body this morning, that there's new governing legislations coming into place this year, so anybody who does like the eyebrow tattoo, micropigmentation or microneedling peels, etc., they've just done it as maybe a CPD course. It needs to be regulated, so we're going to be bridging that gap. We're going to be the first in Scotland to do it. So anybody who has had that relevant experience, they can then come and do the qualification with us without having to do the entire qualification again, because they've already got the skill set.
So hence bridging the gap.
Bridging the gap.
So years ago, you could go on a one-day course, do something, and some of the girls did the 1 or 2-day course, and they're amazing at what they do because they've been doing it for 10, 15, 20 years, but it's now been brought into legislation that they have to have a qualification or their insurers won't insure them anymore.
Right.
So we're looking to bring in a bridge the gap qualification where they don't have to sit a 7-day course again, but we can trade test them and look at all their qualifications.
They will need
and
to sit an exam, but they won't need to pay the amount that they would have to do normally for a full qualification.
That's good to point that out then, because there'll be somebody's prop listening who will come under that sort of category.
Of
well, I would encourage people, don't think about it too much. It is a great place to be. It's a really nice environment. I come away feeling great every time I pop in. So, in fact, do you take guys on?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Do you want to retrain?
I'll retrain.
We welcome. Honestly, there's not enough males in the environment.
If you came to work with
they'd be like, fuck, I'm leaving. well, that's been great and thank you for having us. Thank you for sharing these sort of thoughts and stories.
I thought it would be more funny. Oh, That'll be for our podcast.
It's engaging. It's oh yeah, I know your podcast is. People can keep an eye on that.
We'll tell all the secrets about
it. Yeah, you've got a podcast series
we'll be
coming.
Yeah, tell you more secrets.
Brilliant. No, well, thanks again, and
thanks for
coming in and sharing. And as always, thank you for listening. And we will be back next week with another episode of Blethered. Cheers. Don't you know, no, no, live your